realizes that and calls me back. And I get my fucking gift card. This is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens. Jeff, something that we've been trying to answer.
What have we been trying
years,
to answer?
For the years that we've been doing this show.
Yeah?
Does computers and does internet make brain bad or better?
Yeah, I think that the way you said that sentence kind of answers the question. You know what I'm
what
saying?
What do you mean? I said good. I said good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I said good.
I said
you listen,
good.
You listen bad.
I listen bad?
Yeah,
all
you
good
always
sentence?
You always listen bad, talk at me. Not listen.
I am genuinely concerned about that more than ever because I do feel like I'm addicted to tech, and I do feel these days that maybe tech not so good for brain.
Well, and it's easy to feel that way during the sort of situation that we're in the year of our Lord 2020, when we're stuck at home, we're stuck on tech. If you want to see a friend, you better start up that tech. You want to watch a movie? Start up that tech. You're not going to the movie theater. You want to play a game? Start up the tech. You know,
do anything. You want to go to work? Better start up the tech.
Can you believe that we've been in this for so long that I'm just like, you know, it'd be great just to go to work.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah.
Totally. I'm imagining having an office job, and I'm just like, man, I'd love
fondly
to go to this office job. Oh,
fondly imagining it.
Fondly imagining going
to
the
office. The thing you've tried to escape your whole adult life.
I'll tell you, it's all about it's. And here's the thing: it's because we're on our phones all the time, because we're staring at screens more, because we're on the internet more, because we're in the middle of a very gigantic and contentious news cycle.
Yes.
And also because we're literally experiencing PTSD right now.
Well, I thought you were going to say end of the world, but yes, PTSD.
You know, yeah. Well, you know, it's post-traumatic, but I think it's also pre-traumatic because the end of the world is coming.
It's currently traumatic.
Always traumatic stress syndrome, ATSD. Yes. Consistently traumatic stress syndrome is what we are suffering from. But no, you know, there have been a lot of psychologists, psychiatrists, mental health experts that have said like, hey, you're feeling frazzled. You know, you're feeling you're less able to string thoughts together, all of these things, because you're going through a time of great emotional stress, right?
Right. Yeah.
But it's easy for us to conflate that with the technology. It's easy for us to look at it and be like, it's got to be because I'm sitting on my screen all the time.
Well, the stress comes from the tech, right? The tech delivered the message that brought me the stress.
Yeah.
So that's what I got stressed out by was the tech.
Right.
Which I'm a sympathetic to that position. I don't, because you hear from the people who say, just turn the old phone off, put it away, delete the app, set it aside.
I'm one of those people. You know, I'm one of those people.
Yes, you are. You've often told me this, and yep. I've often ignored it, much to my own chagrin.
There's something, you know, I think there's something to, you know, we've talked about this before. I check the news in the morning. I check the news at night.
The news before I check the news. And then I check two times more. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's good. No, I like
check
it.
Check the news in the morning.
Yeah.
Check the news at night.
What I do is I puff, puff, and then I pass the news.
There you go. That's what you have to do.
That's what you have to do. But no, I genuinely believe there's something to be said of checking. If you check in the morning and you check at night, you get all of the actual major world news, right?
Right.
You don't get a lot of the little things that happened in between. You don't get to trace it from point to point to point to point to point. But guess what?
You're not riding that roller coaster of what did he say and who's going to respond and what just happened and how did it turn out?
Period. Yeah.
There's an emu loose on the 405 right now, and there's live cybercopter footage of it. Let's go there now.
No, I'll watch the 5-minute best of emu clips at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But you know,
emu was on the freeway. Everything was fine. Everybody was fine. And then you go to bed.
Then I go to bed.
It worked out. They captured the emu, brought it back to the zoo. Emu fine.
Great.
Everyone fine. No accidents.
I wake up in the morning and I see that.
I'm riding that. I'm riding that roller coaster of, is Emu going to live or die? What's Emu doing? Who's going to, is car going to crash into Emu? I got to see it. I got to watch Cybercopter footage.
Yeah, no, I don't do that. I don't like that.
And let me tell you, I don't like it either. I'm not saying I like it. I'm saying I'm fucking addicted to it.
I don't know how you do it more than me when you have a family at home. Like, you have other people around that you could be interacting. Yeah. I'm here alone.
I know.
I don't do it.
Yeah.
You're surrounded by other people and you're still checking. I don't know how that happens.
Wildly unhealthy.
Wildly unhealthy. But
Daddy needs to go to the bathroom a lot.
Even in these tough times where we're checking the news all the time, are our phones making us smarter or dumber? Are they good or bad for us? Is there an answer, right?
Is there a definitive answer to this question?
Well, there is a new study created by UT Austin. Are they the Longhorns? Who are they?
Go fighting, I don't know.
University of Texas?
I don't know.
Long. They're the tacos?
Austin? I don't know. I feel like Austin is not the
soft tacos. They're the University, they're the UT Austin live music.
Yeah, the fighting outdoor venues.
Oh boy. UT Austin ran a study and they found that the mere presence of your smartphone reduces your brain power.
It just being there.
Just being there reduces just hanging your out. Brain power.
Just sitting on the seat next to you.
Just sitting on the seat next to you. That's what they found. But I think they found it in a way that you would not expect. They
by
found
listening
it,
to my phone.
Yeah, they were watching you, and they're like, just look at this guy.
Look at that guy. He's an idiot. Look at how dumb he is. Look,
what is he tweeting about?
His phone's not even in his pocket. It's sitting on the seat next to him.
Every day is the death of democracy with this guy.
So
you'd
true,
think
though.
If it was the death of democracy, it'd be dead by now. Somebody shoot democracy. Put it out of its misery, for the love of God.
They're trying, man. They're trying.
But no, this has something to do with cognitive capacity, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Cognitive capacity. So basically, it is your brain's total capacity to deal with things, not your ability to think, not your ability to remember, not your ability to do any sort of like crunching numbers or any of that stuff that you would think, or solving logic puzzles. It simply has to do with the amount of things your brain can do when your phone is around. So what they did was they sat a bunch of people down and they gave them simple cognitive tests. Okay. They asked a third of the people to put their phones face down on the desk in front of them, right? Then they asked a third of the people, put your phone in your bag.
Yeah.
And then a third of the people had to leave their phone in a different room before coming in to take the test. All phones were on silent. Okay.
Yeah.
It worked exactly the way you would think. The people who had their phones on their desk did worse than the people who had the phones in their bag out of sight, did worse than the people who had their phones in another room.
Farther the phone is from you, the smarter you are. Because your phone in the sea.
Throw your phone into this. Listen, there are so many things. You walk into the sea is what I say. All of us just walk right into the ocean is what I say.
Yeah.
So many things should be thrown into the sea, but yeah, your phone is probably first. And basically what this comes from is, you think you're paying attention to the test.
You're constantly distracted. You're constantly wondering what's going on that phone.
Even when you don't consciously feel it, even when you are in that flow state, really just taking the test and you're like, the whole world is gone and all I'm doing is taking
this
test.
You're not consciously thinking about your phone. You're not going, hey, I wonder what's on my phone. But on a certain level, subconsciously, you're still preoccupied with what's going on the phone.
Yep.
That is wild.
Yep. And it's just
because this is by design. This isn't a side effect of the phone. This is how these devices were created to be. Essential, constantly provocative, interesting to the extreme, and addictive. This is this is a feature, not a bug, man.
Yeah. Well, 100%. And I think it's, you know, I think what's happening is we have a few different forces at work in the creation of what you think of as just your phone these days. And one of them is the platform creator, right? So this would be, in most cases, your Google or your Apple, right? Yeah. One thing we've, and then you have the developers of apps, okay? Right. Your Facebooks, your whatevers. Then you have the people who are writing and creating the content that is getting delivered to your phone, right?
The Carbonis, Kanatas.
The Carbonis, the Kanatas, you know, your news sources, but also like your friends who are creating media on, you know, or creating social media, your friends who are texting you, those sort of right. things. And so it's platforms, developers, and people. And I think when you look at platforms, especially when you look at Apple over the last couple revisions of their operating system, they are trying to put things into play. They're taking the long, they're sort of taking the long view of, hey, if these things get found 10 years from now, 15 years from now, to be detrimental to society and to be detrimental to us, we want to make sure that we're putting the right protections in play, whether it's to protect our bottom line or to protect people. You can be cynical or positive about it, right? But yeah. You see things that Apple's doing where it's like, okay, one thing we're going to do is we're going to protect your privacy. The other thing we're going to do is we're going to send you reminders. We're going to pop up screen time analytics. We're going to show you what your biggest time sucks are. We're going to try to like tell you to get up and move around. We're doing things, you know, we're also cracking down on media companies. On these developers, we're cracking down on them being like, hey, you can't send people this many notifications in a day. You can't do this sort of thing. This is too close to gambling. It's no longer a game. You can't keep it on our right. system. You know, they're yeah. trying to do things like that. Meanwhile, you've got app developers. And what app developers want is that's the stick and carrot thing that you're talking about. That's where I think a lot of this comes from is notification, 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 important thing happening. Look over here. You right. got to like, you got to follow, like, how do we give you dopamine? How do we keep you checking? How do we keep you looking, right? And then there is the people, there's the social connection, which is like, what are my friends doing? Is anybody talking to me? Am I talking to them? What's going on? I want to be connected to people.
Right.
And so I think on the platform side, at least, we are starting to see, now I haven't used an Android phone in forever, so I don't know what comparable features they're putting in. I'm not sure. Maybe Google's doing the same stuff. Maybe Google's doing better. But I can at least say on the Apple side, you can see the things they're doing where it's like, let's make sure this does not become an unhealthy, horrible thing.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know how much credit I'm willing to give them at this point.
I do tons. Think
there are some baby steps made in that direction. And I certainly do get the notification that, hey, your screen time is up 19% this week. And I go, yeah, the fucking world is on fire, man. Literally. a little life hack though, Anthony.
Throw your phone into the sea.
There's that. Or leave your phone on for like half the day. Just leave it on.
Uh-huh.
And then the next couple of days when you use your phone as normal, it'll say your screen time is way down.
What you do is you set it not to auto lock.
Right.
And then it's
you just leave it on in an app and you just leave it on a whole day. And that sets you up for like a week of just sweet, sweet dopamine hits of how good a person you are. Oh, your screen time is down 68%. That's extraordinary.
Or you keep swapping devices, right?
Yeah.
So then your iPad's like, oh, you haven't been using the internet much lately. And your phone's like, ooh, good for you for not using much internet. But like, if the two ever got to talk in a room,
yeah,
it'd be trouble.
Then like if I went to, like
if, I, if at the, at the office party, you got to keep my phone and my tablet apart.
Oh yeah. Do not let them be in the same. It's like that episode of Silver Spoons where, Ricky Schroeder gets two dates on the same night, you know, and he's got to hop between two different restaurants.
Jeff, first of all, kids ask your parents.
Yeah.
Second of all I remember from Silver Spoons is that he rides a train into the living room.
That's right.
That's it.
That's that. He was the 1%, man. They were indoctrinating us even back then.
Oh, the 80s was all about that, though. You want to talk about, like, media has always been a bad influence? The 80s was literally, like, the return of Richie Rich. Richie Rich became huge.
Oh, yeah. Richie Rich. I watched Richie Rich cards. There literally is a kid named fucking Richie Rich.
Yeah.
And he's the protagonist. And all he does is go around being rich all the time.
Yeah.
That's his entire...
The 80s was raison all d'etre. Like, don't worry, wealthy people. Wealthy people are good and cool.
And we'll maybe adopt you sometimes. Maybe you'll just be some sort of fresh prince and you'll arrive in Bel Air. You don't know.
I think platform holders are starting to understand a little bit that these things have to be controlled, but they also still want to sell iPhones, right?
Of course. Yeah.
They want to sell watches. They want to make sure that you're still using it, but you know,
Anthony, the only pertinent question here is, what are you going to do with this information? Right? Because this says to me that the only logical thing to do, the only responsible action to take, knowing this study, the results of this study, is to leave my phone in the other room most of the time.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. You should.
Are you going to do that?
You should not be using your phone most of the day.
Yeah. I just saw you check your phone.
I have the story on my phone, but
you
also
checked your phone while
also,
I was telling you.
There's this really good TikTok that I saw recently. Like, listen, don't take away TikTok.
I was literally asking you the question about whether you're going to leave your phone in the other room while you were checking your phone.
But Jeff, I'm barely paying attention to it, and I can still perform at my top level.
I don't think you.
No, Jeff, phone now. Still host podcast. No diff. Podcast go just smooth.
You
see, and I put it down, and you can't even tell the difference. You can't even tell the difference. I put the phone down, and and there's no difference.
It's exactly the same. Oh man.
Yeah, you do. Well, you remember I've tried. I'm particularly sensitive and worried about this all the time because of my ADHD.
Right.
I'll fall into a hole. If I fall into a hole with this stuff, I'll wind up sitting on the couch for 3-4 hours without realizing it, you know?
Yeah. And then who gets the ice cream out of the freezer?
You know? Me, still. Still me. Still me. But then I go right back to the couch and scroll the phone again. But no, so I'm particularly sensitive to this. So I've always tried to find ways to cut down on this stuff, you know, and whether it's carrying around a dumb phone instead of a smartphone, like having a second phone that I can carry around. And
I have a friend who did that, who went dumb phone for a long time. Literally the phone, he only used it in certain hours of the day, and the phone could only do two things. It could only make or receive calls or do text messages. That's the only two things it could do. And there's a lot to be said for that. This story does make me feel like I need to have the phone not in my pocket more often.
Yeah, especially like, so one thing that over the last 5 months, like I have one of the Apple Watches. I haven't worn it in 5 months. Why would I?
Same. Yeah.
What am I tracking? Where am I away from?
Exactly. The watch has become an obsolete product simply because... Why?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And I feel like I can probably do the same thing with the phone. I'm just not.
Yeah. No, my phone is constantly with me. It's so depressing. My kids know which pocket I hold my phone in and they run up and grab it. The phone also has become the controller of the music in my house. And my kids are super into listening to music. So they're always asking to pull the phone out to pick music or look at pictures.
Yeah. That's tricky because, I mean, I have the same thing. I have like a smart speaker stuff and I have like smart light stuff. And so the phone is the controller for that. So it makes you want to keep the phone around a little bit. And like for a while, what I had was I got a little iPod. I got the cheapest little iPod Touch.
Mm-hmm.
And all I had installed on it was like the stuff I needed to control my house. And that kind of helps too. And I don't know, but it's all like, it's all bandages. Like it's all little band-aids on an open gaping wound. Right. And what you really need is to crack down on your time that you're stuck in these consumption cycles.
Yeah. For me, I guess I'm not discounting the consumption cycle. 'Cause that is significant and something that I suffer from. But also, for me, it is this thing that developed because I'm old enough to remember to have been an adult before cell phones, you know, a full-on person with a life before cell phones. But I have become unable to withstand a few seconds of nothingness, of stillness. There is a moment where I have to stand in line somewhere, or I have to come to a complete stop and wait for, I walk to the microwave and I put in my burrito and I have to wait a minute and a half. Out comes the phone, because a minute and a half is insufferable.
Yeah.
Without some sort of stimulation or checking in.
What do I do for 90 seconds?
I'm going to stand here and wait for my burrito to warm up? No, I'm going to look at the world and check in and see what's going on and get stimuli.
Why doesn't somebody... I'm going to Google whether somebody's invented a 45-second burrito, because this is fucking ridiculous. 90 seconds. I'm going to look up. There is a 45-second burrito. It costs twice as much. I'm just going to get it. It's just worth it to get it. What's my life worth? What's my time worth?
Yeah, no. pay the extra. Save seconds. If there isn't a 45-second burrito, can we invent that? What if we take the... If there is a 45-second burrito, can we do a 30-second burrito?
This is the 6-minute abs bit from Something About Mary.
Oh, is it? Yeah, it's
true. This is the 6-minute abs bit.
It is true. It is the opposite. It is the inverse of the 6-minute abs bit.
Yeah. No, not 6, 7. But no, you might find this, Jeff, talking about your particular dependence. They ran the set of experiments again, but they ran it with people who self-reported as being incredibly dependent on their smartphones.
Okay.
They split that group into three groups, right? These are the people that feel like they cannot get through the 90-second burrito without their smartphones. Third of them have it on the table. A third of them have it in front of them or in the bag, and then a third of them have it in the other room. The more dependent you are, the worse you do with cognitive testing when the phone is near you.
Of course. If you're wondering more, you're more attached, you're thinking, you're preoccupied more. I buy that. That's what I would have intuited.
Yeah. It's wild. It's
just,
wild.
We're getting worse. I'm getting worse. I'm that guy.
So what are you going to do about it?
Dude, honestly, I usually I would be jokey and say, you know, I'm probably nothing, but
going to invent the 45-second burrito.
I'm going to go and invent the 45-second burrito. No, I honestly this story really is impacting me in real time. I honestly feel like it's holding a mirror up, and I really need to have my phone. Especially now when we're in COVID, there's no reason not to put my phone in the other fucking room. There's no you're in a studio now. You have no other room.
But I have no other room. But
yeah, so you have an excuse. But for me, you know, part of the got to keep my phone on me at all times is, well, I got to go places. I don't want to lose my phone. But there is no excuse now. There's no point at which I'm going to be lost without my phone. I can just walk into the fucking other room and get it if I need it. But I won't need it very often. I won't need it. You know, I won't have to do something on the phone. But
right.
Then it's like, there's also this whole other side that we haven't even talked about, which is the weird new economy of getting a text from someone and not responding to it for an hour is
I don't give a shit about that.
Do you not really, honestly?
I don't give a shit.
I mean,
about
I guess
that.
I guess I've seen that in action. I guess I've
texts
experienced
are not
that for me.
Here's the thing: a text is not a phone call. A text is asynchronous. That's
but there
that's
is
the
no
thing.
Phone calls anymore. It's
right.
Just texts.
It's just texts. And guess what, baby? Texts are asynchronous. Because you text me, and here's the trick. Here's why people get mad at you. You got those read receipts on. You got the red receipts on.
I guess I do. I don't even know if I do or not. I guess I do.
I know when I send you a text message, I know when you've seen it.
Mm.
I know when you've checked it. And that's why people get mad at you.
But Does anyone not think you've seen their text? No one thinks that. No one thinks, oh, Anthony hasn't seen my text.
Oh, no, because it could be, because it could be something like, I'm in the middle of something. I'm doing this. I'm doing that.
But that was in the before times. Nobody's in the middle of anything anymore.
Yeah, but now you're getting, wait, I'm in the middle of shit. I still have shit in boxes. I'm cleaning, I'm organizing, I'm unpacking, I'm doing shit.
Do you think people are like, oh, I bet Anthony is in the middle of something? Or they're like, no, why isn't he fucking texting me back?
People never
think anybody gives you the benefit of the doubt.
People never give me any shit about it.
Really?
Really.
That's your face.
Oh, I don't care if they give me shit behind my back.
They send you texts, you just don't see them.
they send me texts about how angry they are that I'm not reading their text. No, I genuinely think it's the perception, Jeff. It's the perception of having those red receipts on where people see that you've read their message and you're not responding. There's something about the plausible deniability of like, no, and it's not on my, I will never plausibly deny it. If people, you know, sometimes people have been like, they'll text me and I don't text back for an hour or something like that. And they're like, oh, hey, good. Glad you got this. And I can tell that's kind of a polite way of saying like, oh, I wish you had replied earlier, but I didn't. Right. I don't feel bad about it. There's the plausible deniability on their end. They're like, well, maybe he's busy. You're telling them that you're not busy. You're reading the message. You're not busy. You're reading. You have told them. It's Schrodinger's politeness.
The as long as either alive or dead.
Yeah, as long as the read receipts aren't on, I can make up any excuse for you not returning my text. But the moment you turn the read receipt on and I know that you've read the text, I thought you did it to be polite. I thought you did it to be polite so people would know that you read their text. I was like, that's such a Jeff Cannata thing.
I think it's more than just that, though. I think that there is an expectation that everyone is reachable all the time. There's just an expectation that
I deny that. I refuse to participate in that. I refuse.
I'll get a text from my dad even, and he'll be like saying something completely unimportant, like, "Hey, did you watch that thing?" And then later it's like, "I haven't heard back from you. Did you watch the thing?" And I'm like,
"Oh, well, that's just old people shit." That's just old people shit.
I feel like it's indicative of everybody, though. I feel like everybody is like, they expect
my mom
you-
will text me, and then she'll call and ask me if I got her text. And it's not like a lot of time passes. She's just genuinely worried that texts don't go through.
Yeah.
So she'll text, and then she'll be like, "Well, I texted you, but then I called because I didn't know if you would get it, if you would get the text."
Because there's that one time in 1998 when a text didn't go through, and now you always have to worry.
I that's the thing. It's like, look, man, you have to put aside this is something that you have to do in everything in your life, not just in digital communication. You really got to learn to put aside what other people think of you. Like, you have to.
I agree 100%. And I don't.
But you don't.
I don't necessarily think this
worried,
is that.
Because you're worried that people are angry that you're not getting back to them. Because you think there's an expectation that you have to. But you don't. You absolutely. If I texted you and you didn't get back to me in an hour or two, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah,
I'd be
100%
fine with it.
I think that there is. Maybe it is what they think of what they think of me, but I'm more worried about what they think I think of them.
Mm.
That I'm being rude to them.
Nah, that's the second thing that you need to learn is people don't think about you as much as you think they do.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, and all of, but this is what we're getting at is all this stuff that you're talking about, this cyclical stuff of social media and constant communication really taps into some core societal insecurities that we have that are baked into us as human beings, that are baked into us as tribal creatures. Does the tribe think well of me? And do I think well of the tribe? You know?
Yeah.
Am I in good standing? Are they in good standing with me? Am I safe? Right?
Yeah.
And that's the other reason why it's like a constant checking of the news. The thing that's crazy is like, I feel like my grandparents knew a lot about what was going on in the world. Not as much as I do, but they knew enough. You know what I mean? And they had TV news and fucking
they read a newspaper. They read the newspaper every morning.
They read a newspaper every morning, and then they got the late edition of the newspaper at night. My grandfather paid for both because he loved reading the news. And so like that's what, and they knew everything. They were probably more informed. They were probably better informed than I am with fucking news screaming at me all the time, 24/7. You know,
they read a composed and edited half page column about a topic rather than 240 characters spewed from someone's asshole.
So why aren't you doing that?
It's a question, right? A question,
especially as somebody with a background in journalism.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's this thing of the limbic system and the fucking amygdala and the lizard brain and the, when you read about something bad happening in the world, you immediately are like, oh no, bad in the world. Am I okay? And so you keep reading to know if you're okay, and all you're getting is more bad in the world. But here's the thing. If you put your phone aside and you don't know 90% of the news that's going on in the world, 90% of it will not touch you.
Right.
That's the thing. 90% of it will not touch you. And so the constant concern about and checking of these things is like, for me, it's not the concern. For me, it's more the boredom. I have to get past the boredom, which is incredibly hard for me. Not just because of, I mean, yes, because of the ADHD, but just because of the way that I built myself as a human being around my ADHD, where it's like, I'm the guy who wants the 45-second burrito. And it's not because I'm checking news that makes me feel bad. I'm watching dumb videos and I'm like, I'm eating birthday cake content to just pass the time. You know what I mean? And that's the thing that I've got to stop doing is eating the birthday cake content.
Yeah, you got to eat more burritos, less birthday cake.
But if the burritos take so long, Jeff.
I know. But if you could get two in 90 seconds, think of all the burritos. If I could get
two in 90 seconds, that's like four good TikToks. You know, like, that's a lot. So, you know, it is kind of interesting to see that these things aren't just affecting us in the conscious ways that we think of, but they are affecting us in the subconscious, where this is literally what happens if you put drugs in a room with a reformed addict.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. I get it, man. I totally see that. I think it's clear. It is a little voice that says, do the thing, come, consume me. It's the same thing. It's the same addiction.
Ooh, you know what I'm going to do, Jeff?
Throw your phone in the sea?
Throw my phone into the sea. But you know what else I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to start a channel in the Discord. Now, I know that seems counterproductive. I'm going to start a channel in the Discord, but I'm going to start it as a support group. For all of us to try to get our screen time down.
I'll check that support group every 15 seconds.
But I genuinely, if I did this, would you check in and do stuff with people? Here's the thing. If you go to check the news and instead you go to this Discord and you see everybody being like, it's okay, put the phone down, that's better.
Well, I actually, we had an email on my video game podcast DLC this last week from a guy who has terminal cancer.
5x5.tv/DLC.
Yes, bad timing for a plug, but just in general terms, never do a plug right after I say the word cancer. That's just
I didn't know you were going to say the word cancer because there's a slight delay.
Yeah. Anyway, he has terminal cancer.
Is that the correct URL though?
5x5.tv/DLC. Damn it! Now I did it. Anyway, seems like a really great guy. He's doing a bunch of YouTube videos chronicling his diagnosis and his treatment and all the things he's going through. Anyway, he said that it has made him have a different kind of relationship with time and understanding that time is our most precious resource. And he has realized that time is not well spent checking Facebook, checking Twitter, etc.
Yes.
And what he did was that he didn't throw his phone in the sea. He just replaced his home screen app or he deleted, you know, the Facebook app, the Twitter app off of his phone, and in its place put Google Docs. So when he turns his phone on, the thing that he goes and pushes now is Google Docs, where he is working on his memoirs. So if he's got 90 seconds for a burrito, he's going to work a couple more sentences on his memoirs and do something actually productive that brings him joy. So it's not even eliminating the phone entirely. It's repurposing it into a productive rather than counterproductive device.
That's great. That's great. And there are tons of little things that you could do like that. You know, you can install the content blockers and things like that. The stuff that doesn't just block bad content, but the stuff that's like, if you use your browser for more than 30 minutes, this app shuts it off. You can't have your browser anymore for the rest of the day, you know? And there are things that you can do that are like that. And I love that idea of just putting the best thing in front of you instead. And I love what he said about relationship to time changing, because that's something, you know, Greg Miller tells me the same thing. You know, he got cancer and started kind of funny, because he was like, I'm not going to die working for somebody else, not doing exactly what I want to do.
Right.
He's like, I'm not going to let that happen to me, you know? And I think that's so important. Is like, that's the other thing where it's like, people who think about death 5 minutes a day tend to be happier and more productive, because like, that's a huge like Buddhist thing, right? Remember that one day you will die. Like memento mori, right? Which is not, Buddhists didn't speak Latin, but it's the same shit. It's remember that one day you will die.
Yeah. And don't fritter away your time on useless bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that there's something to be said about small changes in behavior and putting the right things in front of you and doing that 1% every day. You know, that's a huge therapy thing, is 1% every day.
My 1% this week is just going to like get the family all loaded up into the car. Mm-hmm. We'll drive into the sea. Yeah. We'll drive to the sea and I'll throw my phone. I don't think
just me and my family will drive into the sea and we will be peaceful forevermore.
I mean, I don't think that's what you meant by remember we will all die.
Siri, set a reminder to die. I am going to start a channel in the Discord though. If you are a patron, you have access to that, patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. That is, by the way, the only way that we support the podcast right now, because, I'm bad at the internet and I haven't gotten our store back up.
Yeah. That's so okay. Right now, we got patrons. We got lovely patrons who understand that this is the only way to support the show. This is the only way to make sure it continues. And it's also a way to get some cool bonuses, some cool extra stuff for you.
That's right. You can get our pre conversations, our warm up convos that we have before we start every show. We put those aside, and it's a whole separate show that we give to patrons. When guests are on, we do extra episodes that are Q&As with guests.
Yeah.
We do patron hangouts that are on camera. Everybody gets together and chats. So many things that you can have.
And that fun Discord with a great community of folks that you can share your ideas. You can support each other. It's great.
It's great. And you can, once again, you know, we appreciate everything that you've been doing to support us. We know that money is weird right now. It is weird for us as well, which is why we are double thankful to patrons who are helping make this a part-time job so we can keep up with all of our financial needs during this weird time. If you'd like to join, if you'd like to be a part, head to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. And Discord membership, by the way, is $1 a month. If you give $1 a month or more, you get on that Discord. I'm going to start a channel right now that's called Memento Mori, and people won't understand it until this episode comes out, and it'll be weird for a week. And I don't care.
That'll be all right.
So, patreon.com/wehaveconcerns.
Hey, Anthony, I want to talk a little bit about me. Me.
Okay. Sure.
And my ilk. Not just me, but my ilk. You know what I'm talking about? I don't even know if you know this about me. I think you do. I think you've seen me sign enough things and write enough things to know that I am left-handed.
Same as me, baby. Same as me, baby.
I don't know what that first one was. You and I are both left-handed.
I was looking at my phone.
We're both left-handed. In fact, I've hosted podcasts with a lot of left-handed people. Left-handed people tend to be creative folks. I've always been really proud of my left-handedness. How about you?
I have as well.
It causes problems.
I'm particularly proud of the ambidextrousness that comes with being left-handed. Yeah. Because you're forced to be a little more ambidextrous. So it always blew my mind when I could do things with both hands that my other friends couldn't do with both hands. So I always thought that was cool.
I always wore it as a badge of honor, felt a little special. But, you know, we've never on this here award-winning science podcast, we've never really talked about the science of left-handedness.
Sure.
I wanted to talk about that this week.
Okay. I mean, I know there have been a few theories historically, some of them having to do with things such as like the amount of oxygen you get in the womb and
in the womb, positioning in the womb.
Yeah, positioning in the womb, genetics, many different things. I do know that it's easier to train somebody who's left-handed to be right-handed than it is to train somebody who's right-handed to be left-handed, which I think is interesting.
In fact, it's really difficult to come up with a pure scientific definition of handedness at all, because it turns out that, the way we define handedness is what hand do you want to write with, mm-hmm. which is a pretty terrible scientific definition because you can't apply it to any other species. And also, there's this weird range of handedness where it's like, well, yeah, I prefer to write with my hand, but then I do a lot of other weird things with that other hand.
I play guitar right-handed.
Yeah, I do.
Because I couldn't find a left-handed guitar teacher.
Yes, right. I'm the same way. It's like it's such a pain to find a different stringed guitar that mm-hmm. I just learned how to play guitar left-handed or right-handed, but I do almost everything else left-handed. So it's really difficult to even define what handedness is in nature. We all know it because we all live it. But it's kind of a hard thing to even quantify in that sense. But you've noted some of the main theories as to why. But the primary thing we should say at the top is no one really knows. Science has not come up with a conclusion as to why we would even want to be handedness at all. Like, there are a whole lot of species on this planet that do everything symmetrically, and we are built as beings, as Homo sapien, that, you know, with a lot of symmetry, right? Two mm-hmm. eyes, two arms, two legs, two ears. Your ear, we don't have like an ear that works better than another. We don't have an eye that works better than another.
Yes, we do.
I mean, not in the same way that handedness is. It's not like, one eye is going to handle this right now.
That's true. That's true.
Yes, there's some asymmetry. There's some, certainly prefer listening to the phone on one ear to the other, but it's not like...
Let me ask you this then. You're right. There's symmetry, and I'm thinking now about animals. I'm thinking about, I'm thinking about monkeys and apes and all that stuff. I'm thinking about smart animals. But what I'm really thinking is like, well, does it have to do with... number one, the opposable thumbs, and then number two, simply our brain capacity and the number of like fine motor things we do in comparison to other animals?
Yes, it does. In fact, because the left hemisphere of the brain is most closely associated with fine motor skills and language, there's a lot of theorizing that that's why most of the population is right-handed, because we know that whatever hemisphere your brain, the opposite hemisphere of your brain controls that side of your body. So left hemisphere, if you're left hemisphere dominant, you're right-handed tends to be the case. But wildly, one of the things I did not know before researching the story today is that that's not always the case. So it's weird that about 10% of the population is left-handed. Mm-hmm. And that has no cultural differentiation. So if there was any kind of, we were raised in a certain way in this Western democracy, Western cultures have, do a certain thing or talk a certain way or learn a certain way. And so it would be different than a culture that, we discovered in the rainforest and hasn't been touched by... there would be variation there, right? But there isn't. It's about 10% of the population is left-handed across the globe and for as long as we've been measuring this. So that's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
But also fascinating to me, because I didn't know this beforehand, is that the fine motor and language parts of the brain tend to be in the left hemisphere of the brain for most right-handed people. Almost all right-handed people have the fine motor skill and language centers in their left hemisphere, but not all. There's about 10% of right-handed people that don't have those centers, those controlling parts of the brain in the left hemisphere. And for left-handed people, it's even more variable. Some left-handed people have them in the left hemisphere of the brain, but are all over the place in the brain. And scientists have theorized that that might be part of the reason that you see left-handed people who are, there's a lot of left-handed people who tend to be very creative and outspokenly or creative and what's the word I'm looking for?
Artistic.
Yeah, artistic. Yes, thank you. Creative and artistic, but also they have a lot of mental health issues. And they think that may have to do with the fact that the brain literally has a genetic trait that kind of moves stuff around in the brain from where right-handed people are. There's more variation in left-handed people's, the positioning of
We're running a non-standard centers. Operating system.
That's right. That's a great way of putting it. Yes.
We're running an unsupported configuration.
We're kind of mutants, right? We're the differently built brains.
So there is a way that a human brain wants to be built. There are places that these structures want to be, but it is malleable enough to where you can move those things around. But when you do, it's like putting a car back together the wrong way, or putting IKEA furniture back together the wrong way, where it's like, yeah, it works and it's still a shelf, but like it makes a weird noise.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I would put it as
the car clicks sometimes in a weird way, but it runs perfectly.
It works. It works. And I don't know if I would want to phrase it like wants to be or is the right way. It just the way it tends to be, the way the vast majority, 90% of the species is. And then this weird 10% variation has stuff just built in a different formula. You know, it's like,
wow,
formation of the brain. Literally the brain is the same. It's just stuff is put in different boxes, you know?
That kinda is wild. Fascinating.
And that so there's a theory that at some point, hundreds of thousands of years ago in our evolution, that there was this genetic mutation that introduced handedness in the brain, and it just took, right? It just, the majority of Neanderthals, because we've actually found that there is evidence of handedness in Neanderthals.
Okay.
They'll find them with like right arms that are much stronger or more muscular. There are tools that they found that seem to be
safety
built for
scissors.
A yeah, dude, fucking scissors, man. Bane of my existence. So they think that there was this mutation that happened that kind of made, handedness take, and they think that maybe there is this second mutation that happened that is the left-handedness, right? But it gets even weirder than that, Anthony.
Okay.
Because you brought up the question of primates. And I know you hate it when I talk about macaques, but I'm gonna have to bring up macaques again.
I don't think you have to, but
I gotta talk about macaques.
Okay.
There is a bunch of research into handedness in primates, and it turns out that the older the primate species can be tracked back, the more likely it is that the primate is left-handed. So there is some evidence to suggest that the 90% was left-handed before it was right-handed.
We were kings. We ran this planet.
That's right.
We ran. Oh, let me tell you something. Back in the before times, in the long ago, in a society so far gone that we only think of it, we only remember it in echoes and in carvings. When you wanted to buy a baseball mitt, it was so easy.
So easy. And you know what? You were going to ask to borrow my scissors because my scissors were the correct fucking scissors.
That's right.
Back when we were all primates. You know what? And guess what? When I did the cave painting, no paint on the side of my hand, no smearing shit on the cave wall. Why? Because we were going the other direction.
We went right to left.
Right to left when we were primates. Oh, it was so great.
Oh, those were the days. Those were the days. If you wanted a left-handed guitar string, you just plucked it.
That was just plucked it. Yes. All the guitar centers for all the primates. Only it was wall-to-wall guitar, left-handed guitars.
Oh, man.
The macaque with the long hair and the sort of weird, poorly trimmed beard.
Yeah.
Would come over and, like, he'd be like, hey, man, you want to try a guitar out? And you'd be like, sure, I can. I can try any guitar on the wall.
I can try
You don't have to restring any of them because...
You would
They're
sit
all
next
made
to people
me.
In a cave. You would sit next to people in a primeval movie theater, and your elbows wouldn't bump.
That's right.
You would sit at a restaurant, a prehistoric yeah. restaurant, and the elbows wouldn't bump.
You wouldn't have to sit on the left-hand side of the table every time so as not to disturb all the other people with your weird floating elbow.
Those weird one-armed desks at schools?
Yes!
You leaned left, baby. Oh, you leaned
primate
left.
Primate schools were the best.
They were the best. And, you know, they were the smartest, too.
That's right. That's
Back
right.
Of the day. Well, this is interesting. So at one point, at least in primates, the 90% of them were left-handed. Why the flip to right-handed?
Well... Honestly, the thing that's so interesting about this is that there doesn't seem to be any evolutionary benefit to being handed at all. That's why scientists are kind of swayed by this concept of it being a genetic mutation, that it is just a variable that introduced into our physiology that caused it, because there seems to be no... We don't gain anything by having one dumb hand. You know what I mean?
No.
Like one super smart hand and one dumb hand. That doesn't make any evolutionary sense at all.
No, we should have both smart hands.
Yes. And there's a heck of a lot of animals on this planet that do. There's no like dog who's, you know, one paw
no,
works
but their
better
hand,
than any
but
other
that's
paw.
What I'm saying is their hand don't need to do as many smart things as our hand do.
Right. Well, that's the thing is the fine motor. That's why it's tied. That's why scientists believe so much that it's tied to the fine motor skill section of the brain, which happens to be in the left hemisphere for 90% of the people. So they think that is why we tend to be more handed.
Man, what if?
I didn't realize that those centers could just be placed anywhere in your head. Like I have no idea. I'm assuming mine isn't in the left hand hemisphere because I'm left handed, right? It might be in the right. It might be somewhere else. It's just crazy to me.
That is nuts.
Yeah,
that is nuts. Well,
there's another theory that it is a social it was reinforced by social cooperation in early societies in tribes that evolved, because over thousands of years you did need to share tools, you did need to share space, and so it made no sense. It was like ancient Neanderthal teachers with rules slapping the left hand, you know, basically.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah. That's the thing is, like, I wonder if some people, like, I wonder if we're not particularly handed except for the fact that we force people to be handed in a way.
Well, there's a lot of discussion about that. And that's bolstered by the fact that if it is a genetic mutation, they have been unable to find the gene for handedness. In 2019, there was an analysis of 400,000 individual records, and they tried to find the genetic regions associated with handedness, and they found four that seemed to map to that. But other research suggests that there might be dozens. There might be other genes that are at play. That it isn't one specific thing that says, hey, you're left-handed or hey, you're right-handed. That it is a much more complex thing than that.
Man, that's wild to think about.
Yeah.
It's so interesting that there are such simple things about us that we take for granted that we're just like, we have no idea why.
No idea. We just accept it. It's this weird thing to just accept that one hand is stupid and one hand is smart. It's just weird, right?
I think I told you this about this before. There was it was not too long ago. I mean, it was like when my dad was in school that he was quote unquote supposed to be left-handed and they wouldn't let him be. They forced him to be right-handed. Yeah.
Well, that was a whole like generations of people. They were just like, no, you're defective.
Yeah, you know, and that was the thing, is like, no, that's not the way we write. That's not the way that's not the way we teach. So you're going to be right-handed. And my father was the last generation that happened to. Because by the time I got there, they were like, yeah, you're left-handed. They just didn't know how to teach me how to write. I've got a massive callus here that will never go away because they taught me how to hold my pencil wrong. Nobody noticed that I was holding it wrong.
Yeah.
For like years. Yeah. And by the time everybody noticed, it was like, it took me so long to correct how I held my pencil.
That's because you would always write in secret. You know, you were always writing your secret notes in your secret notebook.
Mm-hmm. I had my own, alphabet.
That's right.
I would write secret
messages.
No one noticed
all the things you were writing.
Yeah. I would turn in my papers. Notice. No, they'll never know. They must never see all of my observations.
The other thing that's fascinating to me is that left-handed people tend to have left-handed kids slightly more than right-handed people, but it still doesn't break the 10% rule.
It's weird.
Left-handed people still have way more right-handed kids than left-handed kids. So that isn't a genetic trait that passes like eye color or anything. In fact, I was so much hoping that one of my kids would be left-handed, and they are so not. Neither of them.
How's the first way you tell as a parent what hand your kid is?
High fives.
Yeah?
No, it became very, very clear.
I would believe it.
They say that you can see it in utero. That there's already a preference that the baby will have in utero. But for me, Zoe has issues that are beyond that. So we know that she actually has some brain damage. But Jack, I mean, he does everything with his right hand. He throws the ball. I was hoping, but you know, you hand him a ball or you hand him anything and they put it into one hand. Right. And when they do that enough times, you go, well, fuck, you know,
you're like, no, come on, do it. Oh
yeah.
What hand does he install a sprinkler with?
He's ambidextrous on sprinklers, baby. He can install a sprinkler blindfolded. That kid.
You field strip a sprinkler.
That's right.
Oh man, that's so wild. Yeah, I'm the only person in my family that's left-handed.
Yeah,
thinking about it, there's nobody else.
I'm absolutely the only one.
And I guess my father technically.
Well, yeah, your father. Yeah, by birth.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it made me feel special. It made me feel unique as a kid, and it was a lot. There's a lot of bullshit to deal with, you know, a lot of just inconvenience. But it always made me feel a little special because then you read like, oh, you know, so and so X number of presidents have been left-handed, and X number of famous artists have been left-handed, and
oh yeah,
all that stuff, you know.
Oh, to creative people have a tendency to be more left-handed, which is like it immediately puts it in your head to like. It puts that confirmation bias in your head.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. You know,
I'm gonna write all my secret writings and I too will be brilliant in my secret notebook.
Yeah. Oh man. I wonder how many concerned citizens are left-handed.
Yeah.
You can let us know. And if you're not left-handed,
go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Get wrecked. Get wrecked, idiots. But please do let us know either on, you know, Twitter. I'm at A Carboni.
I'm at Jeff Canada.
Or you can let us know on the Discord server if you're a patron, or on the subreddit. And remember, if you want to join the Discord server, which I am going to start that channel, Jeff, I'm going to start that channel.
You sound like you're threatening me, but I'm all for it. I like it. I want to be a better person.
Okay.
I want to be a better left-handed person.
We're going to start the Memento Mori channel.
Let's do it.
And if you want to join that and check out what it's all about and help support the podcast and us, head to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns.